Begin the current daf, Masechtas Makis, daf Ches. Begin 4 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the related discussion from the previous daf, and that is the Mishnah had described, and the Gemara had explained this machlekes regarding how we interpret the pasuk of that when someone was chopping wood in the forest, and then the iron head of the axe got detached from the wood, and the wood went out and killed the person, or the axe, how do we define that? On that, the Gemara draws a parallel to that machlekes. Amar Papi says, "Man deshad the piece. If someone takes and throws a clump of earth, and he throws a ledikla at a palm tree, the asar tamri, that causes that the dates get detached, and the azal tamri bekatla, and then the dates go and fall down on someone that kills him." Banal machlekes de Rabbi Rabbanan says, "Rapapa, that brings us to the machlekes Rabbi and the Rabbanan that we had in the previous stuff, because that's exactly like the case of when someone is chopping a tree, and then the wood from the tree comes out and sprays on someone and kills him." So according to Rabbi, who defines the halacha like that, and he says that's going to be the halacha of Goyla, so then you're going to be chayiv in Golas. Whereas according to the Chum, that you're not going to go into Golas. Seemingly, that's the same type of a case. It says Rapa, but that's the same machlekes. To which the Gemara has Pshit, it's pretty obvious. It's the same thing. It's when he hits the tree and causes something to get detached and it kills somebody, that's the same type of a case. What's Rapa actually even adding on by saying that that's Rebbe's opinion, who holds that's the halacha of Golas, where the Rabbanan say it in a different context, and therefore they're going to say you're not going to get Golas. Says the Gemara, Ma'u detem, what would you say that in this case that Rav Papa described, that even according to Rabbi, kekoyach koichei dami, that this would not be considered like the person's primary force, which a person's liable for murdering someone, only if it's primary force, he would be considered a force of his force, and thereby he would be exempt, because we would consider the clump of earth that he threw as his force, then the falling off of the dates would be considered a secondary force, which, as Tais explains, this would not be, and that's what the Gemara is forewarning, possibly like the case of Rebbe in the Mishnah, of when someone's chopping a tree and the wood comes spraying out and killing somebody, because over there, what he's holding on to at the time when the wood gets chopped off, he's still holding on to that axe. But here, where the clump of earth already left his hand when it made the dates fall down, that would be more similar to Koyach Koyche, and there I would say that, even according to Rebbe, he's not going to be Chayav Galus. That's what Rav Papa is teaching, that the clump of earth is like the axe, and the dates falling down is like the twig shooting out and killing the person, and therefore it's the same type of a case that Rebbe said in the Mishnah, which the Pasuk, according to Rebbe, is saying that a person will be chayav galus in that case. So the Gemara asked, but then elekoyach koich Rebbe hechem eshkachas lathos. So then the halacha that we know that a person is exempt for killing when it's a force of his force, but then you're exempt according to Rebbe. How are you going to describe that if seemingly the case that Rebbe defines the pasuk seems to be, as we thought in the Havamina, a case of koyach koich? So on that, says the Gemara, kugin the shadah piece, according to Rebbe, would have to add on another step to be koyach koich, because the way that we're describing it, we're considering it as his primary force. So rather it would be, he throws a clump of earth, umachi legarma, and then it hits a branch of the date tree, which the dates are hanging next to that branch. And then the branch that got hit by his clump of earth, that bangs into the cluster of the dates which are gathered together. The asar tamri, that causes the date to become detached. The asar tamri v'katla, and then the dates go and kill somebody because it just hits him in the wrong way. That is an extra step over there. It's not his clump of earth hitting straight the dates and making it come down. That would be kaychei. Kaychei is when it first hits a branch, which the branch hits the cluster and then the cluster comes down. That would be the case that Rebbe would agree that a person would be exempt from killing someone because it would be considered a force of his force. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah. Continuing on these halachas, the criterion of our parak of a person that goes into exile for killing someone by mistake. So the Mishnah says, Hazarik Evan Loshus Rabam Lahark. If someone throws a rock into a stone into the public domain and it kills someone, Harez Agaila, he goes into Galus because he didn't deliberately kill someone, but it's not an oinus. He threw it in by mistake. It hit someone, he goes to Galus. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Aimer, he says, and the Gemara is going to explain the reason for his opinion, if after the person had already thrown and projected that stone, Haitzi halos roisha bekibla, then the victim stuck his head out and then it hit him in wherever it is that killed him. Hareza patur, then the one who threw it is going to be exempt. It's only if the guy was standing and the guy threw it and it hit the guy, that's when the halacha of if someone throws a rock and then hits someone, then he goes into gullus. Continues the Mishnah, Zark esho evan lechatzei rei baharig. Let's say the perpetrator threw the rock in his own courtyard and it killed the victim, so then it depends. Im yesh reshus lenizik likanus lisham gaila. If the victim had permission to be there in that guy's courtyard and now he killed him by mistake, so then he goes into exile. But if the victim had no right to be in this guy's yard and this guy's throwing rocks and the guy walks in and gets killed, then he's exempt. Shnema, like it says in the Pasuk in the Devarim, it says regarding the halacha of going to Ari Miklat if he killed by mistake, said Vashayava Yesre'eyu Bayar, that he came with his friend into the forest, which teaches us Mahayar, it's comparing to a forest, because just like a forest, Rishus Lenezigulamazik Likanis Lisham, there's permission for both the perpetrator and the victim to be over there. Of Kol Rishus Lenezigulamazik Likanis Lisham, that says the halacha of being liable for galus when someone kills by mistake is also where both parties had permission to be there. Yatzach Hatzar Balabais, that excludes the case of the courtyard of the homeowner, Shein Rishus Lenezig Ulamazik Likanis Lisham, which they take out the gears Lamazik, but meaning to say that that's not a place that both of them have permission to be there, because the Nizig, the victim, had no permission to be there, and then he's going to be exempt. Another teaching from that Pasuk, Abishalim, he says that in that Pasuk it says where they're coming to the forest together and the guy's chopping trees, and then again, as the machlikas we had in the previous Mishnah regarding exactly what the case is, but then it goes and it kills someone by mistake. So Abishalim, he says, Macha tovas eitz mishus, what we draw another parallel from the case of the pasuk is just like chopping wood is something that is one's own volition, it's something that's voluntary, and then he kills by mistake, then he's liable for galus. Of kol rishus, so to any act which is voluntary and by mistake he kills someone, then he's going to be chayiv for galus. But yatzah ava makas benoi, that excludes a father who's hitting his child to make him go on the proper, on the truthful path. Over harav haredes tamida, or a teacher who subdues his student. Over shlich bezin, or the agent of the court who's giving him the 39 lashes, where their activity of hitting is a mitzvah purpose, then if by mistake he kills him, he's exempt from galus. Now the Gemara asked regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah, said someone throws a rock into the public domain and he kills, then he goes into galus. So the Gemara says, Loshus Aram, someone throws a rock in the street in the public domain, he's considered a shogig and he goes to galus. Mezidhu, he's a deliberate killer. What, and people are walking all over, you're going to throw, of course someone's going to get killed. Amar Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak, he says, no, what's the case of that you throw the rock into the shosharam? Not that you're just throwing rocks in the street. But Saiser is Kaiser. Someone demolishes his wall, and then a rock falls from a brick falls from that wall into the street. So he's not deliberately doing it. It's a mistake. Then he's going to be chayav for galus. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? He should have checked. He should have been careful. That is considered, that can be considered a shaggy by mistake. That's something that's more of a negligence than that. How can you say that's a shaggy that you're going to galus? Says the Gemara, b'seisos kaisa b'lailu. It does at nighttime. Most of the people are home. He's destroying his wall at nighttime. That's considered a shaggy. So the Gemara says, why? B'laila name ibayliluni. Even at nighttime, also should have checked. Before you just destroy a wall, someone might be walking by. How could you consider that a shaggy, a total error? Says the Gemara, "Beseisos kais leila ashbur." Toma, when the guy is breaking down his wall, and what's neighboring him is a garbage dump. So the Gemara says, "Bahai ashbur hechadam." What is the case exactly of the garbage dump? Ishchichi berabim. If people constantly are going into this garbage dump, doing whatever they have to do over there, well, then pashehu. Then that's considered negligence. You're not on a lower level of shagig to be deserving of the atonement of galus. Because that's negligence. People are always going in over there. And if usually people don't go onto the garbage dump, then honestly, then it's actually the other way. You're not. You shouldn't be chayir for galus because it's totally honest. There's no reason to assume that there's anyone there. So why is the halacha of destroying the wall into the garbage dump something that requires galus? So Amar Papi says, it's necessary only but a garbage dump, that people go there to relieve themselves when they have to go to the bathroom, but laila, at nighttime when no one sees, so it's a convenient place to relieve yourself. But generally, people don't go in the garbage dump during the daytime when people can see, people don't usually go there. But the ikur de makav yosef, there are those who do by chance, let's say if they really need to, they'll go and they'll relieve themselves over there sometimes during the daytime. So Peshay Eloi Hava, so we cannot consider the one who knocks down his wall during the daytime into the garbage dump as a negligent person. The whole Ein Asui L'Ponis B'Biyam, because generally people are not there to relieve themselves during the daytime. But Oinus N'Amei Eloi Hava, but neither can you see the other extreme that is an Oinus, though Ikud D'Makav Yasa, because sometimes people do, so it's not totally an Oinus, so it's really somewhere in the middle. We thought it's either one extreme or the other. Either he's Peshaya, so he's not deserving of the atonement of Golas, or he's an Oinus, and he shouldn't even require that punishment of Golas. Now we said, no, it's actually in the middle, because it's not Peshaya, because generally people are not there, but neither is Oinus, because sometimes people are there. That's the middle category of a Shaygig, which requires, as our Mishnah said, the halacha of Golas. It's not just a guy throwing rocks into the street. It's someone who demolishes his wall into a garbage dump, which sometimes people relieve themselves during the daytime. Now the Mishnah said, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I mean, he qualified and he says that this of throwing a rock into the street, which was just defined the case, he says, but that's only if the guy was there beforehand and then the rock fell on him. But if after the rock was falling, that guy moves into the way of the rock and he gets killed by mistake, then the perpetrator is going to be pater from galus. So the Gemara brings the source for this halacha. The pasuk says in Devarim Yutes pasuk Hey, says that if the pasuk that we were describing before, that someone goes into the forest with his friend, is chopping wood, and it says that the iron will detach from the wood, and it says umatza, and it will find his friend, meaning it will be projected into his friend, and that person will die. So it says the Braisa that it will find the friend. Prat lamamtzias atzmi, that excludes when the friend finds the projectile, where it's after that the thing was already projected, then this guy stuck out his head and it hit him in the forehead, then the one who did it is not going to be chayav galus. Which says the Brais, the Mekanam, Blezim Yaakov, this is from where, as we said in the Halacha in our Mishnah, Blezim Yaakov says, E mishayatza soha evin miyada, if after that the rock was already left the hand of the perpetrator, so then that guy sticks out his head and he receives it, Pati is going to be exempt because it has to be umatza, where the projectile finds the victim and not when the victim finds the projectile. So ask the Gemara, lememra the matza mi karmash, is that to say, as it seems like that's what the Braisa is explaining, that the word matza means that the thing was already there before and it finds it, meaning the victim was there and now it finds it, in contrast to when the victim wasn't there and now it only appears later on? Is that really so, that the word matzah sounds like it's finding something that was always there? But for a minute, there seems to be a contradiction from a braisim that interprets a pasuk in Vayikra. The pasuk there is told when someone sells his ancestral field. There's two types of field a person could have in biblical times, either a field that he bought or an ancestral field that he got from the inheritance of when Eretz was divided. Now, the pasuk says over there, v'hisig yada, if he attains money, because he wants to buy it back, he wants to redeem it. So if he attains money, umatza, and he finds enough to go ahead and buy back the field, because he doesn't have anyone else to help him buy back the field that he sold, so then he could go ahead and the guy has to sell it back to him. Says the braisa, prat l'matzoi. That excludes regarding money that was already found for him to redeem it. In other words, if this redemption money he had at the time that he sold it, then we do not force the consumer to give it back to the owner, to the seller, to go ahead and buy back his field. Why? Because we don't want shalayim kebarachiv v'yigal b'kar. We don't want a guy selling off fields that are far away to redeem fields that are close by to him. A barav v'yigal b'yafa, to be selling off the bad fields and redeeming those which are the good ones. We don't want something, if he didn't have money, he had to sell and only gets money later on. So that's when we require the consumer to sell it back. But if this guy always had the money there and he just is selling and buying back because what's convenient for him, that we didn't require the consumer to sell it back to the seller. But one thing we see is that the Brais is expounding the word umatza the exact opposite. It's saying that umatza means only if he only now found, meaning the money only came now, which is the subject. In contrast, if it was always there, then actually the halacha will not apply. That seems to contradict. Is matza something that it's finding something that always was, like we said, regarding the victim? Or is a matza, like the Braisa says regarding the steachuza, that it's only something that just came now, not always was? And actually, if it always was, then halacha would not apply. So Amar Rava, he says, not a difficulty. Hacha minyan dekra, here it's from the context of the pasuk. V'hasa minyan dekra, there it's from the context of the pasuk. Things depend on context. Hasa minyan dekra, there it depends on the context of the pasuk. umatza, you qualify the word and it and you and he found dumya de vesigiyada, comparable to the other word in the pasuk over there. It says that if a guy doesn't have a redeemer and his hand will attain and he'll find enough kedei gulasa to redeem the field that he sold, which teaches you ma hesigiyada mehasha, just like his hand attaining is now, meaning only now he attained the funds to buy back his field. So af matza na mehasha. So we define the word matza in the current tense, not past tense. Whereas hachamin under the kra, in our halacha, it's also in the context of the pasuk. Umatzo dum yidiyar. The word and it found that this projectile found the victim is also comparable to the other coordinating variables in the pasuk, which is the forest. Mayar midi de isi mikar, just like the forest is something that was always there. Afumatza nami midi de isi mikar, so too when we say it found the victim, it's also something that was always there. The victim was already there. That's when the one who kills him by mistake is going to be chayav galus. In contrast, that if the guy sticks out his head and then he's only found now, then actually he's not going to be chayav galus. So it's not a contradiction. The word matza is neutral in that way, and it depends on the context if it's only in the past and not now, or only now and not in the past. Now the Mishnah continued and said, "Hazarik is Evan v'chulu." If someone throws the rock in his own courtyard, so then if the victim didn't have permission to be there, then he's exempt. Now v'chulu, etc. Abishol said another thing we learn out from the pasuk, besides that we compare it to the yar, which has to be that both of them have permission to be there, is another halacha that just like chopping wood is something that is voluntary. Then if by mistake he kills someone, you chayav galus. Versus if it's a mitzvah purpose and then by mistake he kills the person, then he's going to be exempt. Now, on that halacha of Abishal, the Gemara has a question. One of the rabbis asked Rabba, how does Abishal know to learn up the pasuk regarding the liability of being chayiv and galus to be killed by mistake that is told by chopping wood that's voluntary? Maybe the pasuk is even talking about when the guy is chopping wood to make a sukkah, or chopping wood for the pyre on the mizbeach, which is a mitzvah purpose to have the fire on the mizbeach. And still the Torah is saying, if you chop wood by mistake, you kill you chayav galus. So who said that it excludes yotza ava markas benoyin, all those cases shlich bezin? Maybe the Torah is telling you, even when you're chopping for a mitzvah purpose, it's still going to be chayav galus. So Amalei, so Rabbi said to him, no, kiven de imatza chatev la mitzvah, since if a person found chopped wood already, it would be no mitzvah to chop wood specifically for the atzei maracha or to make a sukkah. So says Rav Hashtanami, so even now also, even if there is no pre-chopped wood, lav mitzvah, there is no mitzvah in the chopping of the wood. Because if there was, then it would be a mitzvah in all situations. Rather, the mitzvah is the making of the sukkah, but the chopping of the wood is not a mitzvah action. And therefore, even if he's chopping wood to get wood for a sukkah, that's not a mitzvah. And therefore, that would be a case when you would be chayiv. And therefore, any case of chopping wood is not a mitzvah. In contrast, when someone's doing an action like hitting his child, which is a mitzvah purpose, then he's going to be exempt. However, Esav Ravina l'Rava. Ravina asked to Rava from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Yotza avamakas benoi. So what's excluded from this halacha? A father is hitting his son to direct him to the ways of truth. Or v'harava, right, this Talmid, or a Rebbe that's subduing his student. Or v'shlich bezin, who's giving malkas, where their mitzvah actions, then if by mistake he kills him, then he's going to be potter from galus. On that asked Ravina, but lema, you should say, kimin de ilugamer la mitzvah, the same logic you said regarding chopping wood for a sukkah, that since if you had, you wouldn't need to, so even when you don't have, it's not a mitzvah. So say the same thing regarding the Rebbe and the student. Since if the student was learning, there would be no mitzvah for the Rebbe to hit him. So hashtanami la mitzvah, sir, also when the Rebbe's hitting him to learn, it shouldn't be considered a mitzvah because it's something that's not integral and intrinsic and necessary, just like you said regarding the sukkah. Here also, it shouldn't be a mitzvah, even when he is hitting him to make him learn. So on that says Rava, no. Hasam avagav de gamer, there, even if the student was learning, mitzvah, it's still a mitzvah to hit him. Why? So like the pasuk says in Mishle, Yaser bincha, you should rebuke your son and afflict him, v'inichecha, and he will leave you with nachas, with menucha, with calm, v'yitim adanam l'nafshecha, and he will give delicacies to your soul, meaning even if he's doing good now, there's still reason to go ahead and give him yisurim and to hit him as a way for the future, and therefore in all situations, even if he's learning, it's still considered a mitzvah purpose. Now, Hadam Rava, then Rava ultimately went back and he said that lav milsa hidami, it's not what I said. In other words, I could have given even a better answer to his question from the pasuk itself, that obviously the pasuk is not talking about a chopping of wood for a mitzvah purpose. Why? Because the words of the pasuk are, v'asher yave esre'ehu bayah, that if he's going to come with his friend into the forest. Now, the word asher sounds like if. That if he wanted, he could come into the forest to chop a tree. And if he didn't want to, he didn't. And if he came into the forest to chop a tree with his friend, and then by mistake killed his friend, then he's chayv and galus. Now, if you'd entertain, like the questioner was asking Rava, then maybe the pasuk's even talking about when you're chopping a tree for a mitzvah purpose. But then says Rava, misaga de la'ayil, would it be an option not to go in and chop the tree? A mitzvah you have to do. Obviously, if it's giving it's talking about an optional type of a case, obviously it's not a mitzvah type of chopping tree, and that's why it's chayv galus. But if it was a mitzvah action, then, as Abba Shaul said, the one who killed by mistake would be potter. However, on this drasha of Rava, and the way he answers the question from the word v'asher, Amalei Rav Adar bar Avla Rava, he asked him, kol heichad chsiv asher, wherever it says that, Di'iboyuhu, it's a case that if he wanted, you're answering by saying, oh, Asher sounds like it was optional. Is that really so? Elamiate, but if that's the case, there's a pasuk in Bamidbar that says, V'ish asher yitma v'lo yeschatim, that a man, and they use the word Asher, that will become tame and he will not purify himself. So the pasuk says over there in Perek Yitzes Pasachav that he's going to get karis from the assembly, because he defiled the Beis HaMikdash if he goes in a state of impurity, because he didn't purify himself with the purifying waters, he's tamei. So on that, asked Rav Adar bar Avva, so it says the word asher. So you tell me that the case of the pasuk is iboy metame, iboy lematame, it was only if that this guy who was saying is chayev karis, if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of impurity, is only a guy who became tamei for an optional type of a tumah. Because it says, Asher Yitma, which you're explaining Asher means if, that, oh, if he would, meaning he doesn't have to, but he did, oh, that person, if he goes to the base of Mikdash, then he'll be Chayav Karas. If that's the case, Meis Mitzvah to Leisagid Lemetame, so let's say a guy becomes Tame, because he has to bury what's called a mitzvah corpse, someone that has no one to bury him, and he finds it, we're there, he has no option of not becoming Tame. There's a mitzvah, an obligation to bury that person. Hachanami Depata, are you going to tell me that that guy who then became Tamei from the Meis Mitzvah goes into the Beis HaMikdash is going to be exempt from Karas? Because that's not Asher Yitma, because that was obligatory? To which Rabbi says, no. Shani Hasam, there it's different. Yes, I hold the word Asher means Ibai, if the person wanted to. There, by Meis Mitzvah, although the person had to go ahead and become Tamei, he's still going to be Chayav Karas, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, is Gittin Tamei Beis, Tamei Yiyah. It ends off that he was Tamei. What's that extra words? That's Mikamakim to say in any situation that he's Tamei, that he's going to be Chayiv for Karis if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of impurity, even if it was because of a Meis Mitzvah. That's being added on. From the word Asher, it means an optional, but Tamei is adding on even the Meis Mitzvah. On that, the Gemara asks, Bahomi Boy Tanya. But those extra words, Tamei, is teaching something else, as we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says, it says Tamei, that he's going to be Tamei. That's L'Rabbi's Tvul Yoyim. That comes to include even someone that's not totally impure, meaning that even if he already immersed himself that day, but he didn't yet have sundown, where if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to be Chayiv Karas. And so too says the Braisa, when it says Tumasar Bay, his impurity is in him, is L'Rabbi's Mechusa Kippurim, is coming to include even somebody that he already immersed himself and even had sundown, but he didn't bring his carbon the following day, and he went to the Beis HaMikdash, then he's going to be chayiv. Where it's from those types of people that become tumah that require a carbon to complete their purification process, which there's four types of tumas that require a carbon. There are a zav, a zava, a yeled, this woman gave birth, and a mitzayra. So you see that the word tumah is including something else. How do you say that it's coming to include even a mes mitzvah? Amalei, so that Rabbi said, no, anomi oid to masa kamina. I was coming from a different extra word. The word oid is superfluous. That's coming to say the drasha, that and still his tumah is in him, which comes to include even something that's not an optional tumah, even the meis mitzvah, which is a mitzvah type of tumah, that's being included from the pasuk, and that's why even there's going to be chayav karas. But generally, Rabbi still sticks to his answer that asher means optional. That's how you know that the halacha by chaytiv eitzim of the obligation of galus by killing by mistake is only an optional thing, but a mitzvah thing, if someone kills by mistake, he's going to be exempt, as Abba Shaul said, from galus. Now, ikad masna, that those who learn this whole discussion of one of the rabbis asking to Rava, and then after Rava answers him that Ravina asks on Rava from our Mishnah, is going on a whole different type of discussion. Not on the halacha of our Mishnah, but aha, it's going on the following brisa. The brisa is on the pasuk in Shemayis that says that Sheshes Yom Tavit, 6 days the person should work, Ubayim Shvi Tishbeis, and on the seventh day he should rest, concludes the pasuk, Becharish Ubakatze Tishbeis. He should desist from plowing and from reaping. Now, Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says that obviously the pasuk is talking about the Shviyas, the seventh of Shemitah, of the seventh year. Because if one would translate the pasuk literally as it's written, that it's going on the seventh day, that of Shabbos, then why would the pasuk specifically talk about plowing and reaping if Shabbos has 39 malachas? Rather, Rabbi Kiva explains that the pasuk is saying as follows. You have to read the pasuk that it's saying 6 days a person should work, on the seventh day he should rest, and then what's, like, so to speak, missing from the pasuk is, and the 6 days that a person does work on the seventh year, even those 6 days, he should desist from plowing and from reaping. But still, Rabbi Kiva qualifies and explains that ain't it tzarich lemecharish shel shviyas, but the pasuk doesn't even have to tell you regarding not plowing on the seventh year, v'katza shel shviyas, and reaping during the seventh year, shekvar nemar. So that we already have a pasuk in Mayikra that tells us this halacha. It says, sotchalei sizra, now let us sow, plant your field, v'karmachalei sizra, now let us prune your vineyard in the seventh year. So even if we're explaining it's too much shmita, which doesn't have lama tes malachas, but even these activities, we already know from a different pasuk. Ella rather explains Rabbi Kiva what the pasuk is talking about is afilu charish al erev shviyas shenichnas l'shviyas, even the plowing of the sixth year right before the seventh year that goes into the seventh year, meaning it's forbidding a person from plowing in the sixth year a plowing that will help for the seventh year, and so to the other halacha b'katzer shal shviyas sheyotzel lematzer shviyas, a reaping of the seventh year that goes out into the eighth year after the seventh year, meaning if let's say it already ripened a third of the produce in the seventh year, at that point in time it's already fit to be reaped, then even if he does the reaping, if he cuts it off in the eighth year, he still has to treat it with the sanctity of the Shemitah year. That's how Rabbi Kiva explains that pasuk. Now, Rabbi Shmuel, I mean, he says, no, the pasuk is as the literal context sounds like, that it's going on Shabbos. But then the question is, so why is the pasuk picking specifically plowing and reaping if there's 39 malachas on Shabbos, not just plowing and reaping? So Rabbi Shmuel explains, because the pasuk wants to compare plowing to reaping and to tell you the following halacha. Macharish, just like plowing that I'm forbidding to you to do on Shabbos, is a plowing of rishus, of something that's a voluntary act, because there is no plowing of mitzvah. That's what the pasuk is teaching you, af katzer. So too, the reaping, I'm only forbidding to you a reaping of rishus, that's a voluntary act, which that the pasuk is teaching you, yatzer katzir ha'imeshuhu mitzvah. That's excluding the reaping of the barley offering, which is brought on the second day of Pesach, which not only is the bringing it on the second day, but even the reaping is part of the mitzvah. That, says Rabbi Shmuel, is what the pasuk is coming to exclude and say that actually is allowed to be done on Shabbos. Now, as regard to this context, it says the Gemara that's where, according to this second version, was the following discussion. So one of the rabbis said to Rava, how do you know, how does Rabbi Shmuel know to interpret this pasuk of why does it pick for halachas of Shabbos, specifically plowing and reaping, to tell you that just like plowing is that of somebody voluntary, so too the Isra of Shabbos of reaping is only something that's voluntary, which comes to exclude and permit the reaping of the Karban Oimer, which is the barley offering on the second day of Pesach. How do you know, ask this rabbi to Rava, that is talking about the plowing of something that's voluntary? Maybe talking about someone who's plowing to make and plant the Oimer, the barley offering, to have that then grow, which is a mitzvah purpose. And still the Torah says that you have to desist from doing it on Shabbos, and that would be compared to Ketzira too, that even that's a mitzvah purpose, it would also be forbidden on Shabbos. How do you know Ketzira Sa'imer is permitted to be done on Shabbos according to Rabbi Shmuel? On that Amalei, that's where Rava responded, and he says, Kiven de imatza charish ein acharish. Since if someone would find his field already plowed, he wouldn't go ahead and make a new plowing to then be able to plant the barley to have the Imer offering. So lav mitzvah. So therefore, it's never a mitzvah, even if you don't find a plowed field, and that you have to plant, you have to plow. That plowing is not a plowing, because if it was a mitzvah, then you would have to do it even if it's already plowed. In contrast to the reaping of the Omer, even if you already find barley that was already reaped, there's a mitzvah to reap lishma for the purpose distinctly for the Omer, for the barley offering, as the pasuk says clearly, uketzartim bevesim es Omer. You have to reap and bring the Omer, so that's the difference, that Charisha, you never have a Charisha that has to be done. And therefore, Charisha, whenever it says that, when it's talking about the prohibition, it's talking about somebody that's not intrinsically a mitzvah. And that's what's forbidden by Katsir on Shabbos. In contrast, Katsir is Omer, which even if you had reaped, you have to go ahead and cut new ones specifically with the Omer. That we see in the pasuk says, Yerushmal, that's permitted to do on Shabbos. On that, as in the first version, Esve Ravina Larava, Ravina asked to Rava from the halach of our Mishnah. Now Mishnah said, Yotza Avamakas Benoi, what's excluded from the Isser of the from the punishment of getting gullus if someone kills by mistake is someone, a father who hits his son, or Vaharabarid is Tamid, or a teacher that subdues his student, or Vashlich Basin, because it says that it's by Chaitav Eitzim, which that's something that's optional. That's when you go into gullus. This is a mitzvah purpose, is going to be no gullus. On that, asked Ravina to Rav, Vamai, but why? Lema, you could say, Kivan de ilu gamar la mitzvah, based on your logic that you said, that how do you know that Harisha is something that's optional? Because if you didn't need it, you wouldn't do it. Obviously, even when you need it, it's not considered a mitzvah. But then say the same logic over here by one of the cases of the Mishnah. You should say, since if the student already was learning lav mitzvah, wouldn't be a mitzvah to hit him. So hashta nami lav mitzvah. Now, even when he's not learning, it should not be considered a mitzvah, even if you need him to learn. And so why does Abishal then say that that's being excluded from the punishment of gullus, since it's a mitzvah purpose? To which Rava answered, it's not true. Hasam avagav degam, nami mitzvah ka'avad. There, even if he's learning, it's still a mitzvah to give him that patch. Why? It says in the pasuk, "Yaser bintcha v'yanechecha." It's for the future. It's that is the discipline is necessary even when he's doing good right now. Rebuke chastise your son, and he will leave you, and he will leave you alone, and it will be all calm. So therefore, says Rava, that no, there is always a mitzvah in all situations, even if he is learning. Now, as in the first discussion, Hadam Rava in this Masni La also, that Rava later retracted, and he says, Lav Milsa Hidami. It's not of substance what I first said. In other words, I could have given a better answer, and I could have explained that obviously the Pasuk of Charisha, I could show you from the Pasuk itself that it's not talking about a mitzvah type of a plowing. Why? Because Katsira Dumi de Charisha, we're comparing the reaping to the plowing, and that's what according to Rishmol, that's what specifically the pasuk is coming to do, because it's talking about Shabbos and there's 39 malachas. Why is it pick plowing and reaping? It's coming to teach you Ma Charish, just like plowing, that wherever it is, Matzah Charish Ein Charish, if you already find the ground plowed, there's no mitzvah ever to go ahead and specifically plow. Afka Tsirinami, that's what the pasuk is teaching you, that so too for reaping, that's what we're talking about, that if Matzah cuts or Ein Kaitzer, that if you find it already cut, that's when it's prohibited to cut on Shabbos. That excludes the Katsira Sa'imer, where even if you find the cut, there's a mitzvah to cut. Because as Rava explains, V'isakatayitich, if you would entertain to say that the pasuk is talking about a reaping of mitzvah, that's forbidden, which is matzah katzer ein a kreitzer, that then you would tell me that if you find it cut, that then you don't cut. But how could you say that? Because mitzvah liktzer lehevi, there is a mitzvah specifically, like the pasuk tells you, to reap and to bring, even if it's already cut beforehand, but it wasn't cut for the purposes of the Omer, and therefore obviously the pasuk is comparing Harisha and Getzira is talking about Harisha shel Rishus, and that's what's forbidden on Shabbos, is the Getzira of Rishus, which is excluding Getzira Sa'im, which is a mitzvah which is allowed to be done on Shabbos. Those are two different versions of this discussion with that student and Rava and the question of Ravina. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of this parak regarding the halachas of galus, when someone kills by mistake. Says the Mishnah, Ha'av goyla ali de haben. A father, if he kills his son by mistake, will cause the father to go into galus. So to the other way, Va'ben goyla ali de ha'av, the son will have to go into galus if he by mistake kills his father. So to Hakol goyla ali de Yisrael, everyone has to go into galus if they kill a Jew, which we're going to explain what's that coming to include. And Yisrael goyla ali de, and the Jew, if he kills them, we'll have to go into galus if he killed them by mistake. Chutz mikir toishav, except for the resident convert, who is someone that doesn't do avodah zarah, but he does eat non-kosher, where if a Jew kills him by mistake, does not cause the Jew to go into galus. And concludes the Mishnah, begir toishav in a gaila ela de ger toishav. A ger toishav, if he kills another ger toishav, that causes him to go into galus. Now the Mishnah said, ho'av goyla al yideha ben. The father has to go into galus if he kills through the son, meaning if by mistake he kills his own son. On that, as the Gemara, how could you say that? But Amr, you said in the Mishnah, Amet Aleph, that says, Yotza Ha'av Hamakes Benoi. That excludes, as we said, the Drasha from Abishal, if a father hits his son and he kills him by mistake, that he does not go into Gaulis. How does the Mishnah say that a father, if he by mistake kills his son, will have to go into Gaulis? Says the Gemara, the Gomer, our Mishnah is Tumah, where he's already learning. So he didn't have to patch it. And then he hits him and he kills him by mistake, that's going to cause him to go into Gaulis. On that is the Gemara. But Ba'amrit, you already said, Avagav de Gomer Mitzvah Kavod. As Rava said, even if a son is already learning, even if the student is learning, there's still a mitzvah to chastise him and rebuke him and to hit him. And still it's considered a mitzvah. So why would that cause, as we said, a mitzvah purpose, if you kill by mistake, it doesn't go into Gaulis? Why, how would a father go into Gaulis if he by mistake kills a son? So the Gemara, Beshulia de Nagari, we're talking about where the father was teaching his son the craft of carpentry. Well, he's not teaching him Torah, he's just teaching him a craft. There's no mitzvah, and since there, if he kills him by mistake, that would require him to go into Gaulis. That is the Gemara, Shulia de Nagari, regarding the craft of carpentry, Chiyuso de Lamde. So he's teaching him a livelihood, a profession. That's also a mitzvah for the father to teach his son. As the Gemara learns out from a pasuk in Masechtas Kedushin of Laman Beis, it says in the pasuk, Re'echaim emisha asher hafta, you should see life with the woman that you love. Which the pasuk is comparing life, which is his parnasa, his craft, with a woman, which just like a father is obligated to marry off his son to a woman, as the pasuk says, of Kula b'nechem nashim, you should take women for your sons. So too, it's teaching that he's obligated to teach him a craft. So therefore, this should be the same thing as teaching him Torah, which is a mitzvah purpose, and if he kills him by mistake, with the objective of teaching this profession, should exempt him from galus. Says the Gemara, the gomer umnasa achriti. The son already knows a different profession. So he's not giving him a livelihood. He's teaching him another profession that is not a mitzvah, because he already has, and he's not teaching him Torah. And therefore, if then he hits him and he kills him by mistake, then he's going to have to go into galus. Mishnah continues and said, "V'haben goyla de'av v'chulu," and the son has to go into Gaulis if he kills his father by mistake. That is the Gemara of Ramina, but that seems to be contradicted from the following brisa. The pasuk Bamidbar says, "Maki nefesh," if someone kills a soul, which that's in the context of someone killing someone by mistake. The pasuk says over there, "Lanus shama maki nefesh b'shkoges." It's talking about the Ori Miklat, the cities of refuge, that someone who kills someone by mistake should flee to that city of refuge. Says the brisa, "Prat lamaki aviv." This excludes someone who hits his father, where there he's not going to be chayiv galus, because it's only like the pasuk says, maki nefesh, for someone that hits and kills someone. Only then when he kills him is when he has the chayiv of galus. That excludes maki avu, when he hits his father, where there he's liable for the death penalty even without killing his father, just by inflicting a wound. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that it's excluding the halach of galus for a son to a father, even if he kills his father. So that seems to contradict the halach of our Mishnah, where our Mishnah says, if he kills him by mistake, he's chayav galus. The Brisa seems to say clearly that it's only another person where the liability is only when he kills him, then he's chayav galus, if he does it by mistake. In contrast, a son to a father, the liability is for the death of the perpetrator for the son is even if he only inflicts a wound, as the Torah says, maki av ve'ima is for inflicting a wound, then the halach of galus would not apply if he kills him by mistake. So that Rav Kahane says, lo kasha, it's not a difficulty, because it's a machlokes, ha Reb Shimon v'Rabbanan, the Brais is like Reb Shimon, our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan. Which Reb Shimon and Rabbanan? Says the Gemara. L'Reb Shimon, the Amar, according to Reb Shimon that he says in Masechta Sanhedrin, on Daf Mem Tes Mebeis, he says, chenek chomer misayif. There's a machlokes between Reb Shimon and Rabbanan regarding the hierarchy of the severity of the four types of death penalties that the court gives. Reb Shimon holds that strangulation is a more severe death penalty than being beheaded. So according to him, if someone kills his father, he gets the death penalty of strangulation. Because as the Mishnah teaches over the Masechta Sanhedrin on Pei Aleph and Aleph, if someone's liable for two death penalties, he gets the more stringent, the more severe death penalty. So someone who kills his father is liable for two death penalties. Because A, he made a wound in his father, the Torah says he gets strangulation. And then, besides that, he's also killing someone who that's a death penalty, the Torah says, is herig, which is the being beheaded with a sword. Now, in this case, he's doing both. He's inflicting a wound on his father, and he's killing him. So according to Reb Shimon, that says that chenek, strangulation, is the more severe death penalty. So had this person killed his father deliberately, he would have gotten the more severe, which is chenek. So now when he's doing it by mistake, he does not get the atonement of galus for when he kills his father by mistake. Because if the Torah gives an atonement of galus for someone that kills by mistake, that is only shigigas sayif. That's only when someone is liable for something that had he done deliberately would have been beheading, and here he does it by mistake, which is the lightest according to Bishamim of the death penalty. That's when nitna lakapara, that's what Torah gives in atonement. Okay, it's the least severe death penalty. You did it by mistake, which is you killed someone, which is saif. Oh, that we could give atonement for and let you off the hook by going to the Ari Miklat. But shigas chenek, but doing a death penalty of beheading, of strangulation, which is inflicting a wound in the father, if you do that by mistake, that lekapara, that we didn't allow, that's too severe, we didn't allow the atonement by just going to exile. That's the halacha of the Braisa, who says that when someone is maki of, if he kills his father, he doesn't get the atonement of Ari Miklat, of a galus. In contrast, our Mishnah, the Rabbanan, is going like, Rabbanan de Ami Saif Chami Mechanik. They hold that beheading is a more severe death penalty, which means that sin is more severe, than strangulation. So, Hayrig of Bishagig, so if someone kills his father by mistake, Shigiga Saifu, ultimately that means to say that that's a mistake of a death penalty of beheading. Because had this guy killed his father deliberately, premeditated, he would have gotten judged by the more severe death penalty, which according to Rabbanan, that's Saif. Oh, b'shigas sayif nitin l'kapara. If someone does a death penalty of sayif by mistake, which is the case of when someone murders another person by mistake, the other Torah says clearly that he does get the atonement of galus, which would be like the halach of our Mishnah, that if someone kills his father by mistake, our Mishnah said that he does get the atonement of going to galus. That's the interpretation of Kahana. Rav Amahi says that no, you could even say that not only is the Mishnah like Rabbanon, but even the Brice like Rabbanon. And someone that kills his father, like our Mishnah said, does go into galus. Because according to Rabbanon, the death penalty that he would have gotten is saif. So a shgaga of saif, that is the halacha of you going to galus. Now this that the Brice has said, prat lamaki of, this that it's excluding if someone hits his father, it's not excluding if he kills his father. Rather, like the halacha of the Torah, when it mentions the halacha of maki of v'imoy, it means not when he kills them, but when he makes a wound. Prat la'oyscha burba of b'shagi was excluding if someone makes a blemish in his father by mistake. That's what it's saying, that it doesn't go into galus. Because sulka that chemina, you would have thought to say, kiven de bemezid bar katolahu, since if someone inflicts a wound by his father, black and blue mark, if he does it deliberately, so then he gets the death penalty, b'shagi nami legally, so just like when someone kills someone deliberately, he gets the death penalty. When he does it by mistake, he goes into galus. So too, you would have thought to say, by inflicting wound on the father. Just like when he does it deliberately, he gets a death penalty. So b'shagi nami legally, when he does it by mistake, he should go into galus. Kamash balon, that's what the Braisa is teaching, that no, the halacha is only for killing. Then, by mistake, you go into galus. In contrast, mistakenly inflicting a wound on the father, that's not included in the halacha of galus. That could be even like Rabban. Mishnah continued and said, Hakol goyel na de Yisrael v'chulu. Everyone is liable for galus through the killing of a Jew by mistake. And so to the reverse, a Jew is liable for galus if he kills those people by mistake. So the Gemara asks, Hakol goyel na de Yisrael l'asui yimai. What is this category coming to include that everyone, who's this everyone, that they're going to have to go into galus if they kill a Jew by mistake? And so to a Jew who kills them will have to go into galus if he kills them by mistake. Says the Gemara, Lasuya Eved Vakuti comes to include a slave and a Kuti, which are this discussion exactly what type of halacha they had. They were brought into Eretz Yisrael after the galus of the 10 tribes. Discussion if they were true converts or they were not. But they don't have a full-fledged status as Yisrael. And that we're saying that if they kill a Jew or if a Jew kills them, there's a liability of galus. Says the Gemara, Tanina Lahad Tarnaban. So this interpretation that we're saying in the Mishnah supports the halacha that we learned in the following Braisa. The Braisa says clearly this idea, Eved v'kuti goyle v'loike al de Yisrael, a slave or a kuti will have to go into galus or get lashes because of what they did to a Jew. And b'Yisrael, goyle v'loike al de kuti v'eved, a Jew will also have to go into galus or get lashes because of what they did to a kuti or a slave. So the Gemara asks, Bishlem eved v'kuti goyle al de Yisrael v'loike, we could understand the first half, that a slave or a kuti will have to go into galus or get lashes because of what they did to a Jew. How so? Goyla, when would they have to go into exile? Is the Katli, if by mistake they kill a Jew, as we said in the Halacha of Mishnah. The Loika, when would they get lashes because of what they did to a Jew? Is Delatye, would be talking about if he cursed a Jew, which the Gemara says in Masechta Shavuot of Lamehemet Aleph, if someone curses his friend, he violates a negative prohibition, and we know that from a Mahatzad, from a comparison, from someone who curses a judge, or a prince, or a Cheresh, which that includes every Jew, that That's a negative prohibition, which there's a liability of lashes. However, El Yisrael Goyle V'Loikal De'Kuti, but what about the other half? This they were saying that the same thing is in reverse, that a Jew will go into exile or get lashes because of what he did to a Kuti. Asks the Gemara Bishlam Goyle. We could understand the halacha of him having to go into exile is the Katle, is where if he by mistake kills a Kuti, that would mandate that he has to go, the Yisrael has to go into Galus. El Loika Amai, but regarding what that a Jew does to a Kuti would require that the Jew gets lashes. If you're going to say, like what we said in the other, in the flip side, the latye, that if he cursed the Kuti, and that has to gemar, but the Pasuk says, Shemais benasi ba'amcha leitar, which is where we learn out the halacha of every single person cursing, that it's a nasi that's in your people, a prince amongst your people, that you're not allowed to curse. Which we learn out, what's the word ba'amcha? Of course, a nasi, we're talking about in your people. It's ba'isa ma'isa amcha, it's only someone that does the actions of your people. A Kuti who doesn't act like a full-fledged Jew is not isa ma'isa amcha, and therefore you wouldn't be liable for cursing him. So regarding what does a Jew do to a Kuti, that would require the Jew to get lashes. So Elam Arvacha by Yaakov, he explains, kagoyin sheheyed boy. It would be, for example, where the Jew testifies regarding the Kuti, false testimony, that the Kuti is liable for lashes, v'huzam, and then the Jewish witnesses are huzam, where the halach of Eidim Zayman is, whatever you try to do to the defendant, you get yourself, that would be a case where the Jew would get lashes because of what he tried to do to the Kuti. Now, that the Gemara asks, but then the Kavah say Gabi Evan. So then the same thing should apply to the slave. We said there's two people that were told in regards to a Jew both ways. We said a Kuti and an Evid, what they tried to do to a Jew, and what a Jew tried to do to them. So then, regarding a slave, the parallel should be Sheheyed by Behuzim. So then the same thing should be where if, let's say, the slave testified regarding the Jew, and then the slave was Huzim, that then the slave is going to get the same lashes that he tried to do to the Jew. That is the Gemara, Be'evid bar Edesu. As a slave, someone that can say testimony, he's not. He's not eligible to say testimony. So if you explain the case of lashes, which seemingly it's saying the same thing, the parallel by both cases, that a Jew, in regards to Kuti, is when he says testimony regarding the Kuti, so then the same thing would apply, that the Kuti and the Eved, they get lashes for them trying to say testimony, false testimony regarding the Jew, and then the Huzim, but that can't be by an Eved. He can't say testimony in a court of law. So Elam Rav Acha Bere Daviki says, what we're talking about over here in regards to when a Jew is going to be liable Malkus for what he's doing to a Kuti is Kigan Shehiko Haka, is when the Jew hits the Kuti, as we continue to have a testament Aleph, She'im Bashava Pruta. It's a hit that there's no value of damage that's worth a Shava Pruta, because if the injury that he inflicted on the Kuti would be worth at least a damages of a Pruta, then actually the halacha would be that the Jew would pay and wouldn't get lashes. As the Gemara learns in Masechtas Ksubas and Avlam Beis Mabeis, the Torah explicitly includes the halacha of when someone's chayvul b'chaver, when he injures his friend, for monetary payment, and whenever there's monetary payment, then you don't get lashes. But when there's not even a lowest domination of currency of a Shava Pruta, then there's lashes because he violates what it says in the Torah, Leisaisiv Pen Yesiv, he's not allowed to add more than the 39 lashes, which the Shleich wasn't allowed to do, which tells us that if he does even number 40, and for sure a regular person who doesn't have permission in the first place, then he's violating a negative prohibition of hitting his friend, then that's a violation which then has the punishment of lashes. Where the Amr Ba'ami, Amr B'yechen, he said, Hakka, She'im Shava Pruta like it. If someone hits another person, and specifically we're coming to include even a Kuti, a hit that doesn't have a monetary remuneration because it's not even worth a Shava Pruta, then the assailant gets lashes. And moreover, because V'loy Mekshin Hakol L'Klala, our Gemara holds that we do not compare hitting to cursing. In other words, because you would think to say that just like we said that regarding cursing a Kuti, the Jew who cursed him does not get lashes because it says ba'amcha has to be oisa ma'isa amcha. So you would think also he wouldn't get lashes for hitting the non-Jew, for hitting the Kuti. That's what the Gemara is saying, that this man da amar, which is a machlekes masechta Sanhedrin, there are those who do compare hitting to cursing and there are those who don't, that this man da amar is going like those who hold that you do not compare akar to klala, and therefore the case of describing when would a Jew get lashes for what he did to a Kuti would be when he hit him a hit that didn't have at least a damage worth a Shavah Pruta, so there's no Tashlumen. So then, you don't say that he's Mishalm in a Loika, because there is no Tashlumen. So he's going to get the Malkus for hitting a Kuti. That would be the Halacha. And again, that was relaying back to the Halacha of Mishnah, where Hakol Golan de Yisrael includes to a Kuti and an Eved, and so to the reverse, when the Yisrael, by mistake, kills a Kuti and an Eved, he has to go into Galus.